Thank you for joining us. And now we want to talk to you about our God-centered concept discipleship series that we have been promoting for a very long time on this show. Here is the book, Victory in Seven by T.S. Wright, the God-centered concept discipleship series that teaches you what real discipleship looks like. This first book will simply get into the foundational process. Make sure you go to Amazon.com and order your copy right now.
Welcome to the show that combines biblical truth, discipleship, and the calling of spreading revival. Now your host, T.S. Wright.
In that rather, you're like, I don't want that. You know what? I actually choose obedience over that.
Exactly.
You will always know failure. You will never succeed. What? Absolutely not. It is like he knows. He created us. He knows.
He knows.
He knows exactly what would ruin our lives. Yes. So no, I don't want that.
No, and I don't either. And the thing is that fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The Bible tells us this. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It is real wisdom.
I can't wait for the knowledge to show up. Oh my Lord, I can't wait.
So what I tell you, what you do is you just pray for the wisdom from the Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit will give you knowledge, wisdom, faith in and of the Spirit, the power to distinguish between spirits, heal, do miracles, and prophesy in his name, and to speak in tongues. I mean, you know, those are interpret tongues. I mean, those are some of the, those are those natural spiritual gifts that we pray God will give us to it in the measure he desires to give it to us. And probably in the measure that we can handle it at the moment.
I think I could take some more, if I'm going to be honest. In Jesus' name, right now, I could take more.
Amen. By the blood of Jesus. So that's hilarious. That's funny. So, you know, one of the things too that I love that you're talking about this stuff and just being completely open and honest is that, and we teach this in our discipleship series, is that if you are going to walk in the Spirit, okay, and you truly want to keep in step with that, which Paul highly encourages us to do in Galatians, and he's talking to that church, we have to be willing to be completely open to the conviction of the Spirit. And Psalm 139 always comes to me. It's really about a cleansed heart. And we got to come before him all the time. And
which if we relate, is that the one where like I formed you in your womb?
Actually, this is where, you know what? Search my heart and know me and then teach me in your ways, you know, and it's really about cleansing the heart. That's really what, that's just the paraphrase of it to give, you know, for the audience, but it's about cleansing your heart because he already knows your heart. Show it to me, guide me in your ways of everlasting. I mean, that's what we have to do. And then if you want to relate that to Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22, because we live in that church age, as you called it, the lukewarm, the church of Laodicea. If we want to, what we can do is we can break that down and go to verses 18 through 21. See, Jesus absolutely admonishes this church, but then he starts in verse 18. He starts teaching the church where it needs to start. He says, buy from me gold refined by fire. Well, what is gold? Gold is truth. Now, I want you to imagine the age that we live in. There's like a million truths, is there not? There's like these, all these, everybody has their truth. But God, Jesus is telling us to buy from him the truth because he's the only one worthy to have the real truth that we need that's eternal. Nobody else has the eternal truth. Only Jesus has that. Which relates back to Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away. He has the truth. There is no other truth. It comes from Jesus. And refined by fire, that means it is intermixing into our soul and into our hearts, and it's intermingling, and it becomes our faith. And then eventually it comes out. And then it says, buy from me white garments so you can cover yourself and hide your shameful nakedness. That's right. We have to get it from who? Jesus, because we're not pure. Only Jesus is pure. That's right. And then we buy eye salve so he can cleanse our eyes so that we can see the way he sees the world. You know, we got to see it his way, and we can't be seeing it our way. Our way doesn't work. And you kind of, you know, and you alluded to that when you said, hey, I got the sin and I want to do it, but no, I should not. And I know I shouldn't. And I want to walk in the fear of the Lord. Well, that's what that eye salve is that's putting on his spiritual goggles. So, yeah. So you brought that out of me. I got some good preaching going on here.
I wanted to let him cook. Like, keep going.
and then there's rebuke. The next is I love those who are rebuke and discipline. Well, it's really about it's rebuking and restructuring. Therefore, be zealous and repent. That means you build your zeal for him as you allow him to convict you and restructure you. And then as that does that, it automatically leads you to repentance. That means to change. And then he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in with him and dine, and he with me. And then the last one is verse 21. That's about persevering with him. And he gives you the right to sit on his father's throne, just as he was given the right to sit on his father's throne. Imagine the reward of persevering with Jesus. And he's talking to this age of the church, which is the church age we live in now. And he's telling us exactly how to connect with him and how to walk with him. And that's got to be one of my favorite passages is 20 and 21, because the reward is amazing. I'm not worthy to be the dirt that he walks on, but he's going to let me sit on the heavenly throne with him. Now that's incredible.
Yeah, it is.
That's incredible. That's just, yeah. I sometimes
have to just. God, I love what I believe.
Exactly. Amen.
God, I love my faith.
Because the eternal reward is amazing. I mean, we get a reward that is beyond anything that we could ever gain in this life. There's nothing in this life that can ever reward me like how Jesus is going to reward me. There's just nothing.
Yeah.
You couldn't earn $100 trillion and it would not compare to what we're going to get in the next life.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it's truly amazing.
It is. So here's another question. And you've had some really good biblical scholars on your show. Talk a little bit about the Bible's cultural and historical context, you know, and how sometimes a lack of understanding that can lead to some misapplications that, you know, that kind of can lead you in the wrong directions or at least leave you in confusion.
Yeah, I would say, which part do we want to talk on?
Just pick one. Actually, just pick one that you've gotten to explore.
For sure. I actually have a free guide on my website. It's probably like the most important thing that I made. You can go to bibspeak.com and have it right now. But then I get your email and then I can continue talking to you. That's a little trade we make, is my little free guide for your email. But it's the 10 verses misunderstood verses reclarified by a scholar. There's 10 of them. And Jeremiah 29 is one of them. And I think that's probably one of the most dangerous verses, that once we understand it in historical context, it makes so much more sense. It takes away what we thought, but it replaces it with something so much better. And you understand that God is not making me a promise, that I have a plan. And this is like my confirmation verse. So this is like a very personal thing of like, I thought I was good. I always pointed back to that. I always thought that no matter how far I went off the path, God would bring me back because he had that plan he promised. And then you realize that Jeremiah 29:11 is talking to like a group of people pulled out of their home country into exile for many years. And they're feeling lost. They feel abandoned. They feel stripped of their cultural identity and their home. And God looks at those people and he says, but I will pull you out. I promise you, this is part of a plan. And you're not just going to be in ruins. You'll prosper. You're not going to be hurt. You're not going to be harmed. And we serve a God that does that. We Amen. Serve a God that has that kind of characteristic, that looks at his people and delivers on them. And he's going to deliver for you in the way that makes sense for you, not in a way that'll make you rich. You can't promise that. But we serve, like, that is better news, that we serve a God that's able to do that. Because now it's better because now the ways he can show up are endless. The opportunities that we can look to him are endless. It's not just one plan. It's every plan that he has a characteristic that he can play that role in. I think another thing that adds so much context, it's one of my first episodes, is we talk about demons with Christopher Carr, Dr. Carr, and it's a Catholic perspective on Legion, because it was like my first episode was Halloween. So I was like, let's talk about demons. And I was just like, Legion, what do we miss? Like, I don't understand demons. Like, I was so ignorant in that. But the conversation was so simple. It's like, I look at this verse and it was like Mark, Matthew, and Luke all talk about Legion when God, when Jesus shows up and that guy's in that graveyard and he casts out the demons, the pigs run off the cliff. And then he's like, go tell everyone about this. It's like, what are we missing here? And I read that in context with Dr. Carr. And I understood the demons thing. I understood what demons wanted. It was a great, spooky episode. But then a couple months later, I had the same conversation with Dr. Sedlacek. And like I said, we have a whole episode looking at verses that we understand exegetically, the way that we're intended to. And we talk about, you know, like Psalm 23, like we talk about a lot. But what I missed entirely, which I think isn't so much dangerous once you understand it, but it adds so much more richness. So I'll take a positive route here, is Jesus showed up to a Greek nation who served pagan gods, mm-hmm. Zeus, all the ones, you know, the whole Greek mythology. And this man is scary. He's possessed. He lives in a graveyard. He's shackled. Jesus, going against all Jewish laws that he knows, goes to an unclean person who should make him unclean by coming in contact with him. And instead of becoming unclean by talking to a possessed person, he puts his cleanliness into him by cleansing him of these demons. Amen. He then puts the demons into pigs, which were also Jewish, in a Jewish perspective, unclean animals. Those animals run off the cliff, now they're dead. Cleanses the area of unclean animals, cleanses the man of unclean spirits. And then he looks at this man and he says, look at you. And this man's like, hey, thanks so much for saving my life. Can I go with you? As we all would. Just, I think, contextually, that's hilarious that he's like, thanks, can I come? And Jesus goes, no. And, which is also hilarious, like, no, you can't come. But he turns around, and he's like, go and tell everyone what you did, which Jesus wasn't doing that everywhere, because if you're in a Jewish nation, and he's like, claim God, claim, you know, miracles, Jesus knew that the impact in a Jewish nation would be like, kill him. He knew, we're in a Greek nation. They're not going to kill me. They're going to be freaked out. But now this man, who for years was chained in a graveyard filled with demons, is now the only person who can bear witness to Jesus and what he just did. He became a mustard seed. He went within 15 minutes from demonically possessed with a legion of demons to an evangelist within a pagan society. And like, if that doesn't just enrich that entire scripture, another verse that completely enriches is the bleeding woman. I had Dr. Sedlacek back again. He's like, we should talk about the bleeding woman. I was like, it'll be a 15-minute conversation. Like, I don't, just planning out the episode here, I don't think we're going to have enough to talk about. We talked for 2 hours. It was one of our longest episodes. And I've gone back and I've made it 20 minutes now. So you can listen to the full episode or the shortened version. But this is, I spent so much time on this episode, because what he did is, you read it eisegetically in that Sunday school Christian mentality, girl reaches out, touches the magic cloak, gets healed. And God's like, faith has made you well. That's basically what I was taught. But then you read it in context. Historically, that Jewish woman knew Torah. What's in Torah? I don't know. There's God talking to Moses in Exodus saying, hey, you people, you stiff-necked Jews, you stiff-necked Israelites, you guys can't obey. So why don't you put a blue cord on the corner of your cloak? And when you see that blue cord, you'll remember my laws and you'll obey them. Yeah. Or what was it? Malachi 3? There's going to be a healer in his wings. Healing in his wings, same word used there, kanaf, same cloak. So we're talking about the same piece of clothing that has healing and that helps us remember and obey the laws. And then we look at Ruth and Boaz. She goes up to her Christ Redeemer. And he's like, spread your healing kanaf over me, your healing wing over me. There's a covenant there that they're fulfilling. So Jewish woman, thinking about all these verses that she was taught, sees a prophet, knows there's healing in his wings, knows there's covenant, knows that there's obedience in the laws. She wasn't reaching out hoping that some magic would happen when she touched the corner of Jesus's cloak. She saw the kanaf and she saw, oh, just got so emotional. She saw that blue cord and she reached out in faith. She was a well-educated woman who bled for 12 years. She was unclean. Again, going back to those Jewish laws, like touching a prophet as an unclean woman, like talk about social suicide. Yeah. And yet she did it anyways. And God goes, who was that? Stand up. She had to then stand in front of a crowd and be like, me, I was the lady who's been bleeding. I touched the prophet, like humiliating, makes her do that. And he goes, your faith has made you well. And so this two line verse in Mark and Luke that we skip over on Sundays is so much deeper. Like how cool, how many, like does Lord of the Rings have that many cross references? Does Game of Thrones, like this book is just objectively cool. Yeah. And this woman is so well educated. And that's just like, if that doesn't attest to like knowing your faith, like what does it, other than 1 Peter 3:15, you should be able to give a defense for your faith. So adds so much more richness. And I don't know, I think about dangers of like understanding things conceptually. You think about, oh, what was it? Genesis 9 with Ham and Shem and Noah. You read that. He saw his dad's nakedness on a Sunday morning. You're like, awkward. Walked in on my dad changing. No, that's not what that verse is. You understand it in context of scenes one nakedness. What does that mean? That's a euphemism. What is that? An idiom? Euphemism? In Hebrew. Well, I don't know Hebrew euphemisms. I barely know English euphemisms. So break it down for me. Not good. It's actually so much more serious. And yep. I don't know what your take on it is. And I don't know how much graphic we can get, but it's either sleeping with his mother or sleeping with his father, like sexual assault or homosexuality, like both not okay. And so that's why there was so much shame. That's why he said all of the Canaanites are going to be blessed. Like your entire lineage is cursed for what you just did. As a Sunday school lesson, it's like, why would walking in on my dad warrant such a crazy response from God, cursing your entire bloodline just for walking? No,
because there was so more going on there.
Way more going on there.
Yeah, there was way more going on.
This? I remember telling my sister about this and she goes, that's icky. I don't like that that is in my Bible. And I go, but that's the God we serve.
Yeah.
That in that depth, he is there. Like our God, we can go. There's nowhere we can go that he can't.
And so how about Matthew 13? See, most people talk about the wheat and the weeds.
You spent so much time on this. You got to educate me.
So there's weeds, but no, it's tares. See, in the old days, they used to teach that it was tares. What tares is, it's very much like wheat until it fully matures. It looks exactly the same as it grows up until it fully matures. You can't tell the difference. Now read that in that context, and that completely changes the meaning of it. That's why we've got to understand our Hebrew
roots.
Wait,
I'm missing it. Wait, what does understanding that in context look like?
Okay, so basically what happened, the enemy goes out and throws the tares in with the wheat in the wheat field, and it starts to grow up. Well, people who were tending the field had an educated eye to understand the difference, but most normal people wouldn't. And then Jesus is like, you can't pluck them because you're going to pull them all out by the roots. They're going to grow and they're going to be entangled and they're going to look all the same and you're not know which one you're going to pull. So you got to wait till they completely all grow up. Then you can tell the difference. Then you separate them. Then you burn the tares and you keep the wheat.
Okay.
Well, most people say it's just weeds, but the weeds look different than wheat, but that's not true. As it grows, it all looks the same. So imagine when we get false teachers and we get real teachers and they grow and they all sound the same until their final fruit comes to fruition. Then you can tell the difference. Yeah. That was a very specific parable aimed at some very specific people. So Jesus was absolutely attacking the Pharisees and the Sadducees because they sounded smart. They knew the law, but guess what? They weren't following it. Why were they not following it? Because they had stopped following it when they went to Babylon and they came back and they brought the synagogue system with them back, which was never the original intention, mixed it with the temple system. And then they got all these political factions and they were all warring over political control versus serving God. And that is why the God we serve destroyed that system. And Jesus fulfilled the law and God wiped it out. And the gospel is now the salvation message.
Yeah.
And that
there's so many thing, like there. Yeah. It's so much fun. I love this. Yeah. So I feel like that guide definitely helped, but you know, we talk about unseen realm. We talk about Exodus. We talk about, Ephesians 6, we talk about Psalm 23. When you read that in context, what is actually the valley of the death? Valley of death. We talk about that, like what it actually is. And it's a poem about a shepherd taking a sheep through the pasture. And like, that's what it is. It's a poem. And then you understand that like the promises he's making to us is so symbolic of like that same journey that a shepherd takes a sheep throughout that season, throughout the chaparral. I think that it is... I wouldn't say dangerous when you misunderstand it. Like there's not like an at risk because I don't want people to like read the Bible and be like, well, there's no time in the world that I can fully understand all of the Bible properly in context, but that's our life's work. Yeah. We read this the rest of our lives.
That's right. It's a life journey. I mean, you learn.
Yeah, I hope my podcast shortens the load. Saves you a couple $100,000 at seminary because I tried to skip the line and got the seminarians to come to me. But I'm going to keep talking to them. I'm going to revisit all of those again. It's going to change over time.
Amen. You know, and I love these types of discussions because you can change your depth. You can change the way that you approach it. And guess what? You can learn more context about the passages that you're reading by reading them over, research, read them again, research, read them again, research. And I just tell you to keep repeating that process and pray and meditate over it. And you'll be amazed at what the Spirit will reveal to you. It really is. And so I'm an old coach, an old college basketball, a college and high school basketball coach. And I like to, when I'm reading that stuff, I like to get a whiteboard and I start drawing stuff to get kind of context and reading and looking at structures and looking at patterns and looking at how things, and that's how the Lord led me to understand the seven ages of the church like I do. And of course, me and Pastor Bob recorded a 14 series episode podcast, 14 different ones that he posted on there. And it took that long to go through all of it because there was so much context to it and to get people to really understand what we were up against and what was happening and what's coming and all these other pieces. It was just, it's fascinating. I did about a year study on that. And so that might be one of the most in-depth studies I've done. I've done one on marriage and the history of marriage. That one's interesting. I've never done any podcasting on that one. But needless to say, our approach to our understanding of sexuality matters, and it matters dearly to God because he it's like this precious thing that he holds dear. It's the way he chose. The first act of total community worship was between Adam and Eve, and he wanted it done in a certain way, in a certain context, with a certain type of protection around it. It's just, it's amazing what he did. And then what have we done? We've corrupted it. And it really, yeah, it can be kind of heart-rending when we think about that. So but you know, and we can go on and on with the show, but we're starting to run out of time. So I will tell you folks, yeah, we're going to be dividing this one into two episodes.
Love that.
Absolutely. We're going to divide this one into two episodes. And I will tell you, Cassian, I'm going to invite you back and we can have some more good conversation here at some point.
Love to
do that. And anytime you want me to come on, we can talk as well. If you ever want me to come on your show and maybe talk about the seven ages of the church or one of those type of topics, certainly let me know. But if somebody wants to get a hold of your stuff or, you know, look at some of your messaging, podcast, all that kind of stuff, how can they do that?
Yeah, like I said before, bibspeak.com is my home base, bibspeak.com. That's going to be where you can get that free guide I mentioned. That's where you can find every place the podcast plays, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, iHeart, everywhere. We've got merch on there. There's an opportunity if you feel called to donate. Pledging $1 a month really does add up, and none of this is free and it's all on my own dime. So I absolutely encourage you to just pledge $1 a month at least if you can. Day five, that's even better. But I think if you wanted to connect with me personally, I am chronically online. So follow me on Instagram. This is Biblically Speaking on Instagram. I'm on there every single day. I try to post the best 30 seconds of every episode each week and try to kind of break down this topic even further. But that's a great way to just DM me and talk to me directly if you want. So yeah, I would start at bibspeak.com.
All right. Awesome. Well, we will include this all in the show notes and make sure you guys have all this stuff. And I just want to say, Cassian, it's been great having you on the show. And like I said, we're definitely going to be rescheduling and bringing you back so we can, I want to dive into some more topics. I mean, I could go on for three more hours like this. And
yeah, even about sexuality. I love what you were just saying there. I think that deserves more attention.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, it's something my wife and I talk about and we do it in context of society and culture. And you know, her and I have those discussions and I've had those discussions with men that I've ministered to and it's really helped them reshape their ideas of approaching, you know, that type of thing where they reset the course of their life by following the biblical model that God has preset for them to follow And I've seen some of those guys that truly changed their life in a general sense. And they're not, you know, they're not living just by their whims or their feelings, but they're living by the conviction of the Spirit. And that's helped just settle their lives. And, you know, those guys are trying to, you know, they actually want to find the right kind of partner that they can walk side by side with, that they're, as you said earlier, equally yoked to. So, and we want to make sure that we're setting ourselves up for success for that. But anyway, without further ado, I am T.S. Wright. This is Cassian. And on behalf of both of us, I just want to say this: go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. Thank you for listening to today's episode. And we just want to give a big shout out to Richardson, Texas, who is a community that is a big supporter of our show. And they download a lot of shows and listen to everything that we put out there. And we just want to say we thank you for that. And we hope at some point that we can come visit you and be able to minister to you guys and to bring you the God-centered concept to your area. And that goes for every area we've given shout outs to. And if you want us to come to your area, then get more people to download our show, as that is the areas that we want to focus on, are the ones that are really listening and tuning in. And we want to be able to come to you guys and be able to minister to you the discipleship program that we have in person, and getting you guys connected to our online programs. So please reach out to us. Let us know that you're listening. We can obviously, we see it in our downloads and our numbers, but we also, if you give us a message, we can also respond that way. Thank you guys so much for being great listeners, Richardson, Texas. We are praying for you, and we pray the gospel continues to impact you and our show impacts you in every way. God bless every one of you, and thank you. And we hope to hear from you soon.